Fresh Air with Terry Gross in 20 minutes here on KPCC. And Terry talks with the writer of a modern-day fairy tale, Myra Coleman, and her son Alex. Talk about their new book and exhibit about the family's matriarch, who at the age of 60 moved from the shtetl to Tel Aviv, then to New York, leaving her husband starting a new life. Plus an interview from the archives with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author Tony Horwitz. He was with us several times on Air Talk. He passed away a couple of days ago. He's out on his book tour for his new book, and he died suddenly, apparently, of a heart attack. Tony Horwitz, who had been with us on Air Talk several times. We're very sad to hear that he died on Monday. So from the archive, Terry talks with him coming up in a few minutes. But right now, we turn our attention to an op-ed piece from John Paul Bremer, who's a New York-based writer. He writes op-eds for The Washington Post. He wrote one recently titled, "I'm from a Mexican family. Stop expecting me to eat, quote, authentic food." And he joins us to talk about the notion of authentic food, which, you know, here in Los Angeles, I don't know if we put so much stock in authenticity because we love mashups of stuff. We love stuff that takes different cultural influences and turns it on its head. That is kind of part of the fun here, as long as it's not made more bland. John Paul, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So how do you define the way that people use authentic? What do they mean when they say that to you?
Yeah, so I think typically people who are looking for a quote-unquote authentic experience, it's usually from either Mexican or Chinese restaurants or people who serve non-white cuisine. What they're really looking for is sort of based on what the stereotypical perception of what food from those places is like, and they sort of want to feel like they're experiencing something that they can't get anywhere else. They don't want to be able to go right across the street for it. They want to feel like they're having something exotic, something that has a tradition behind it. So what you end up with is sort of places that really take a lot of stock about the semiotics and the aesthetics of that without really caring about whether the food is good or not. And you tend to get places that get punished for, as you said, having fun with it or playing around with cuisine.
The other aspect of it is that, you know, Mexico is a big country and you've got, you know, very high end, very elegant restaurants in Mexico and you've got, you know, tacos on the street. So how do you even determine what it really means when you're speaking the aesthetic of authenticity?
Right. I think it's really hard to, and I think it's sort of tied in with how people see Mexican people on the whole. I mean, you've probably heard it before that there's so many Americans who think that everything south of the border is just Mexican. It's like you could be from Honduras, you could be from Guatemala, you could be from Brazil even, and people will just say, oh, those are Mexicans. And so I think it's sort of based on this flattened idea of what Latin American identity even is. It's really based on some shallow, sort of incurious stereotypes. And I think that's where my biggest problem with it comes from. It's like you said, Mexico is a huge place with so many different types of people and types of cuisine, and we're definitely not a monolith.
We're talking with John Paul Bremer. He writes about food, among other things, and wrote a recent piece in The Washington Post, an op-ed, "I'm from a Mexican family. Stop expecting me to eat authentic, quote-unquote, food." Have you felt as a food writer in some ways sort of constrained, like people, because of your ethnicity, they expect you to write primarily about food from Latin America?
Oh, God, absolutely. And I mean, I wish it was just contained to food writing. It's sort of like that in every writing I do. I mean, you know, I've covered politics. I've done a lot of reporting. And typically what people want out of me is like, but what's the Mexican perspective on that? Like, aren't you angry about this thing that Trump said? You know, usually I am, but I can write about other things. I have other areas of expertise. So I think for any person who's, you know, Mexican-American or from a Latin American background, we tend to get pigeonholed and we tend to get restricted in terms of what people trust us to talk about. And I think that's my biggest issue that I'm hitting at in the piece, is that this is such a restrictive, limiting concept, and we can go so much farther beyond it if we're allowed to.
Also with us, in addition to John Paul, is Gustavo Arellano, features writer for the Los Angeles Times, and just as importantly in this context, the author of Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. Gustavo, good morning.
Hola, Larry.
Hi. You write a lot about this notion of authenticity. And, you know, what do you think of how it's used popularly as sort of a positive or necessary quality of a restaurant?
Yeah, first of all, I love John Paul's piece. I remember when I read it, I had admired his writing for years. And then to see that talking about food, I'm like, yes. And I'm glad that the Washington Post posted about it. John, he was really focusing sort of on the American expectations of what, quote unquote, authentic Mexican food is. I always criticize more, though, the Mexican part of it. So even among us Mexicans, we have an idea of what Mexican food is. And if it doesn't match our expectations, it could be Mexicans themselves trying these new things, and they'll get criticized. Here in Southern California, of course, we have a lot of these pochos restaurants. Pocho meaning, of course, an assimilated Mexican-American. So, for instance, in Cerritos, there's a place called Amori Tacos by Thomas Ortega, and he does this really great dish, tater tots with mole. Mole, of course, that great, wonderful...
That sounds really good.
It's delicious, but a lot of people say, oh, that's not authentic. Mexican-Americans will say, that's not authentic Mexican food. My grandma didn't make it, therefore, it's not authentic. So for me, authenticity is this idea of memory. But I also argue that to try to hide, but to try to constrain a cuisine in this the shackles of authenticity, it's not good for the culture and it's not good for the food.
Yeah, with my in-laws, I find this very interesting because they're from Mexico, but back, you know, a couple of generations. And so, yeah, there's always, you know, a pot of beans that are on the stove and traditional what you think of as you know, Mexican cuisine, but they're eating every place else that everybody else is who's Caucasian, who, you know, grows up in Southern California. So the idea that sort of that ancestral food would define them is very limiting and sort of takes the influence of L.A. out of the equation.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, and even on the day-to-day basis, come on, no one eats 100% purely authentic. I remember last year we had my Tio Santos' 70th birthday party out in the City of Industry. And so we had this wonderful catering. We had all these moles. We had all this beans and rice and arroz. And then on the corner was a box of Little Caesar's pizza. And we're wondering, who the hell got the Little Caesar's pizza? It turned out to be my 96-year-old grandma who said, well, this is so my grandkids or great-grandkids can eat the pizza. Well, it turned out that the pizza was the first thing to go. Everyone, even my uncles, even my cousins from Mexico, they wanted their mole, yes, but they wanted the pizza to sop up all the mole.
We're talking with Gustavo Arellano of the LA Times, an author of Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America, terrific book published just over 5 years ago, and writer of the Washington Post op-ed, I'm from a Mexican family, stop expecting me to eat authentic food. John Paul Bremer with us as well. I'd like to hear from you what you think of the notion of authenticity and how that's sort of held up as the epitome of great ethnic cuisine. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. I was gesticulating, held up, and Parker, our engineer, thought I was just saying, turn the music down. No, I'm just getting into it, Parker. We'll continue in 1 minute on AirTalk. A week ago Saturday, we had the memorial for my wife's grandfather who passed away at the age of 90, grew up in Los Angeles in East L.A. His parents came from Mexico. And as we were talking about where to go out after the memorial, I said, well, you know, we can look at, you know, different Mexican restaurants where maybe go and have the, you know, the post-service lunch. And my wife said, well, he liked Mexican food. Yeah, but probably, you know, something distinctly American would have been more his choice. So that's exactly what we did. We ended up going to Northwoods Inn, Clearman's, instead of to a Mexican restaurant. Just another example of, you know, when you grow up in Los Angeles, you often gravitate not just towards the food that you grew up with, but the places that are iconic sorts of LA experiences. I'd like to hear from you what the notion of authenticity means to you. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Gustavo, I assume my Northwoods anecdote sort of rings home based on what you were just saying.
Oh, my God, yeah, the snow cabin, right?
Yeah.
By freeway. Everyone in Southern California knows it.
Yeah, no, he loved that, and so that's a choice. 866-893-KPCC. Kai in Fullerton, I understand you're Chinese-American, so what do you think of this concept of authentic cuisine?
Hey, Larry. I've been to Beijing several times in the past few years, and the young people over there just eat fried rice with spoons. And, you know, as a Chinese-American growing up, I always thought that fried rice, you know, was, like, really Americanized, really watered-down Chinese food. But I think my point is, you know, in China, like, the concept of what authentic food is completely evolving. You know, the country is becoming so westernized and modernizing so quickly that what we think of as authentic Chinese food today in America is, like, you know, 1970s, you know, very specific kind of Cantonese food.
Yeah, and just stopped in time. Kai, that's a great point. John Paul Bremer, your thoughts on Kai's observation?
I can totally relate. I mean, it's such a relative term, isn't it? Authenticity is, I mean, being a Mexican-American, I have such a different perspective from someone who was born and raised in Mexico. I mean, I come from the world of Tex-Mex, which is often looked down on in terms of Mexican food at large because it's cheesy. You have flour tortillas, you have rice, you have beans, and that's not something that happens in the southern part of Mexico. But it still is authentic. There are still cultural influences that led to Tex-Mex being a thing, and there is such a thing as, you know, authentic Tex-Mex. And I really just think it depends on where you come from and how you look at food.
All right. Kai, I appreciate your call. Richard in Simi Valley, what does authenticity in cuisine or restaurants mean to you?
Hey, I've got kind of the opposite side. So for about 9 years, I was engaged to a woman whose family deep Mexican roots. She was the first generation of her family actually born in the United States. So, and I'm total white guy. I mean, Irish, red hair, the whole nine yards. It was interesting to me when I would go to her family get-togethers and her family events, how they were not eating the foods that I was raised to believe were Mexican foods. So you're raised going to the restaurants and it's tacos, it's burritos, it's enchiladas, and then you show up to a big family party and they're frying chicken in a copper pot. They've got pasta. And it was kind of a culture shock to see, wow. So all of the time I thought that Mexicans ate rice, burritos, and beans. And you eat, you know, for lack of a better phrase, you eat just like me.
Yeah, Richard, did that break up the relationship?
God, no. Oh, there is nothing better than a grandmother's flan. Oh.
Richard, I appreciate it. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Rude Torpedo writes on the page, Tito's Tacos, world's least authentic Mexican food and an L.A. institution with a never-ending line. Rude Torpedo, as it should be, don't say anything against Tito's Tacos. Gustavo?
But yes, they are completely authentic to a certain portion of the Mexican community. And not only that, the hard-shell tacos I talk about a lot in my book. In Mexico, we eat hard-shell tacos. They're called tacos dorados. So, again, both nowadays, what's amazing to me about the idea of authenticity, now you have, for lack of a better term, white folks telling Mexican-Americans that, say, Tex-Mex is not authentic, that Cal-Mex is not authentic. I guess I did a big package for Eater.com about Mexican food in the United States, and there's all these traditions. In Kansas City, for instance, their version of tacos are hard-shell tacos encrusted with Parmesan cheese. It was a marriage of Mexican and Italian cultures based right there in Kansas City, and now those tacos are in danger of disappearing because people want, quote-unquote, authentic tacos, which we here in Southern California just call tacos.
Jessica in Pasadena says, I think authenticity is really about the ingredients. For me, in my heritage, homemade tortillas for Mexican food, salsa from scratch. But getting creative with those ingredients shouldn't be limited by the concept of authenticity. John Paul, what do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. And I think, you know, the tyranny of authenticity for me, it's really apart from the quality, because I think it's not a matter of, oh, it's inauthentic because it tastes bad. I think food tastes good or it tastes bad, and ingredients, fresh ingredients, are a huge part of that. I just don't see why we have to tie it to this idea of, oh, it's real or it's fake.
There's the title of your book, John Paul, The Tyranny of Authenticity.
There, we found it.
You just said it, yeah. All right, Rick, Thanks very much, Rick. I understand that you immigrated from Singapore. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So is there a concept of what is authentic or not in the country you came from?
Very much so. And I'm talking basically about authenticity more now since I've been living in the in California for the last 40 years. The Chinese food, and I'm speaking specifically the Chinese food, not Mexican food. A lot of the Chinese food has morphed into what the Americans like to eat and the kind of flavors they like, which is more sweet and kind of starchy, you know. So a lot, that's, I think, the kind of authenticity we should be focusing on. Food innovation is different. Every culture has food innovation. So the authenticity has disappeared from a lot of Chinese-American restaurants. What they're serving is not Chinese food. And it's different, but it's very popular. I mean, we have restaurants here in Long Beach, California, where I live, that are thriving despite, I mean, I wouldn't even step in. You couldn't even bring me there to eat for free.
But, Rick, I mean, there are whole swaths of the San Gabriel Valley with all kinds of Chinese restaurants that have regional cuisines and particular specialties that are, you know, packing the house for people who are comparatively recent arrivals from those countries. So,
right.
You know,
that's where authenticity exists and thrives in SGV, you know?
All right, Rick, I appreciate it. Let's talk next with Dan in Arcadia. Dan, you have an example related to St. Patrick's Day?
Correct. Yes. My father often would be put in charge. Well, after a while, they stopped doing it at like a local Sons of Shillelagh Irish organizations. On St. Patrick's Day, people would expect corned beef and cabbage.
Sure.
My father insisted that corned beef and cabbage was an Irish-American tradition that was started on the East Coast. And in Ireland, they eat ham and cabbage. what would happen is he would prepare boiled ham and cabbage for a big party at a local Sons of Shillelagh or a Knights of Columbus on a St. Patrick's Day celebration. And what in turn would happen was there's just a bunch of disappointed people because he was such a nerd about being authentic.
I love it. Dan, thank you for sharing that story. Appreciate it so much. Ham and cabbage doesn't have the same ring to it, definitely. John Paul Bremer, thank you so much for being with us. Gustavo Arellano, as always, thank you. Have a great afternoon.